Hello.
Jinx. Beans is looking all crazy. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast where we like to discuss new movie releases and review them. So, just a couple intros. We prepared for spoilers. We're going to talk about the whole movie. And also remember to follow us on Letterboxd, DI_podcast, where we post the movies before we talk about them.
Yes, we do.
Super exciting.
We do indeed.
How are you feeling today, Jonathan?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm pulling up the Letterboxd.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming you know you're getting all your little notey notes ready. Okay. So we can talk about it later, though, once we enter the movie, because we haven't entered the movie yet, even though everybody knows what it is, because we put it in the title.
Why do we keep
but
it
it's
a secret in the beginning?
It's a secret.
I don't get that.
I don't know why. It just feels like we can't talk about it till after you do, like, the formal intro, you know? Beans, why are you looking at me like that?
She's like
literally giving me a side eye. What is going on, Beans? You have a bone right here. Entertain yourself.
She's
so darn cute. Okay, so happy 4th of July, everybody. Just public service announcement. PSA. Is that what a PSA means?
Yeah.
Public service announcement. I learned so much on this podcast. This is an educational podcast.
Should reach out to PBS.
What does that stand for? Public broadcasting system. What does it stand for? Do you know?
I think that's what it is.
No way. There's no way it's system.
What is PB?
I'm gonna Google. What does PBS? PBS stand for?
PBS Kids.
I used to watch PBS. Isn't that what Arthur was on? Public Broadcasting Service. Oh, you know what? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Service versus system. I knew system was wrong. I knew there was something off. It was something fishy about that one. Okay. So, first segment of the podcast. What are we watching right now?
We just finished the season finale of Silo.
Actually,
muy bueno.
Muy bueno. I feel like it was honestly kind of slow going and didn't need to be as long as it was. Like, they kind of just dragged it out and repeated things over and over again. But the ending, they had a pretty good twist, because I had no idea what they were going to do with the ending. I thought they were going to, like, do something annoying where they weren't going to show you anything, because usually with finales like that, they show you some big, like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. And then you, like, you know, you're anticipating the second, but I honestly thought they weren't going to give us that.
Me too.
Because every episode was so anticlimactic. Like, it was enough that I was like, I want to keep watching it and see the next one, but I don't know. We'll see what they do with the second season.
It's a book series, so there's books out there too.
Yeah, but so was Game of Thrones. Are they surpassing the books, or are they continuing with the books?
Oh, I have no idea. I think they're continuing with the books.
I honestly feel like with anything sci-fi, it's only good when there's the mystery. When you have that initial mystery that hooks you, but then once you figure that out, and they kind of just kind of come up with random, like, crap afterwards to, like,
kind of like,
and then it just kind of gets, like, weird.
Kind of like Westworld.
Yeah, Westworld. Like, the first season's so good because you don't know, like, you're anticipating it. And then once they give you that big, like, this is what it was, expose, it's like you can tell they didn't plan it out. You know what I mean? Like, apparently Stranger Things was planned out from the start for all five seasons.
I believe that.
I kind of do, but then I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Maybe there's a couple episodes that don't really support that.
Yeah, like, there's some storylines where I feel like they could have introduced things earlier as Easter eggs, and they didn't. Or maybe they did, and I just didn't notice some because I'm so far along in the series. But
maybe.
I prefer it like that. Like, that's how you know you have a good show, is if they literally plan it to be three seasons. Like, you know, I feel like Succession, I don't know if they did that or not.
They planned it to be four seasons.
Yeah, but if they plan it from the start like that, then it's so well executed. Every action makes sense. And then it's even more amazing when you're like, oh my God, that's a reference to season one.
Yeah,
like, it's
yeah.
just awesome.
It's a lot more rewarding.
I don't know what happened at the end of Succession, so nobody spoil it for me. But I do know that, you know, I don't want to spoil it for anybody else. I know the one episode of TV where everybody was like, this was the best episode of TV of all time. I know what that one happened, because you totally spoiled it. But then now I think you feel bad, so you won't tell me what happened in, like, the actual season finale. Maybe one day I'll watch it. I never wanted to watch Game of Thrones, and we watched Game of Thrones.
That's true. Yeah. Or Yellowstone.
True. I feel like sometimes this podcast is me just, like, speaking at you.
Yes.
Yeah, stop. Oh, so yeah, we were watching Silo. We started Hijack.
On Apple TV with Idris Elba.
Yeah, that one. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. I don't know where they're going with it, but I kind of like that. I don't know.
Well, I think...
you don't know if he's a good guy or bad guy. Good cop, bad cop. He's playing them both.
Genius.
He's a man of many trades. Never thought of that move. Only Idris could pull it off.
Only Idris.
Which is funny because we were watching Idris Elba's Hot Ones because apparently it's iconic. And now we're talking about
There's
him.
An iconic
so ironic.
Meme.
You just can't go one day without talking about Idris Elba. You know what I mean?
You really can't. Didn't you see his wife in Atlanta?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, right? Literally. Crazy. I was at a I went to college in Atlanta. I was at a coffee shop at Atlantic Station, and it was during like they film a lot of movies there. I would never say I never really saw anybody famous in Atlanta because they see movies there. Like I never mm-hmm. saw anybody, but this woman came in. She was beautiful, gorgeous woman, very tall. She orders her drink, gets it to go. And I didn't really pay attention because I was like doing homework. And then afterwards, the ladies who were working at the counter are like, oh my God, that was Idris Elba's wife.
How do you make that connection?
And apparently she was literally talking to them and she was like, oh, my husband's here for work. We're just living here temporarily. Like she was saying that. And she was like, and wait till it comes out that like, oh, his wife was like never in Atlanta with him when he was filming there or whatever. But they were freaking out at the counter and they were like, she's the sweetest person I've ever met. Like she was, I guess, very nice and sweet. But all I noticed was there was a beautiful woman in the coffee shop, but she like didn't stay or anything.
Yeah.
But I have been in the same room as the woman who's married to Idris Elba.
You're basically
so
famous.
I'm basically like besties with Idris.
Pretty
so,
much.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on a first name basis already.
I mean, that was my 15 minutes of fame there. First name basis already. Yeah. Yep, exactly. Oh, and we started watching Severance because I'm enjoying Hijack. Silo is nice, but I need something that's already released. Do you know what I mean?
You so don't like the weekly releases.
I want to watch it whenever I want to. I need it at my beck and call.
Instant gratification, baby.
Exactly. Instant gratification. That is what I want. So we started Severance. What do you think of it? It's on what, Apple TV?
Yep, I like it.
All of these Apple TV shows right here, a little advertisement for Apple TV.
That's true. They should be paying us.
Usually, I was not a fan of Apple TV.
Yeah,
originally,
you were like,
because
Apple TV sucks,
my
Jonathan.
Only experience with it was, oh, I want to watch something. Oh, it's on Apple TV. Pull up $20 to rent it.
That's the Apple store.
That's redonkulous.
It's different.
I don't know. It's nice that there's some free TV shows. So I'm coming around to Apple TV. But I really was like very much against it for the longest time.
And it's
time.
Free with our internet. Shout out to T-Mobile.
Well, is it? Oh, is that why we have it?
Yeah.
Why did you say it like that? I just thought it was like free for some reason. And that's why the movies costed $20. Because like some things are like ridiculously expensive. You're telling me we pay for Apple TV and they want $20 for us to watch movies? I officially don't like Apple TV again. That's ridiculous.
We're not watching any of those shows on Apple TV. Boycott.
Well, I want it. I'm going to finish these.
It's going to start here. Else. If anybody boycotts Apple TV, you know where it started from.
I stand against Apple TV. No, I don't have anything against them. Okay.
And I'm also watching Barry. Excellent show. It's hilarious.
I'm not watching Barry. Actually, I was in the room when he was watching it because I was really tired. So I said, you could watch whatever you want. I just fell asleep.
Yeah. Worked out well.
Yeah. And also, like, if I ever want to watch it one day, nothing was spoiled because I was out. I was so tired.
It's true.
You were passed out. Okay. So, Jonathan,
so the
do
movie.
You want to intro the movie now?
For today. I know. It's a big secret.
Nobody
this is
knows.
Highly
Nobody
anticipated.
Knows.
It's the new Indiana Jones. Guess who directed it? Do you know who directed it?
Not Steven Spielberg.
Correct. The only one not directed by Steven Spielberg. Indiana Jones movie, I mean.
I would have guessed Steven Spielberg, but all I know is my mom had said that Steven Spielberg would be proud.
That's what he
that's
said.
That's the only reason I know.
Yeah.
He was proud of it?
Yeah, he liked it. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Directed by James Mangold. Mangold, I don't know how to pronounce it. He's one of the most underrated directors working today.
What's his name again?
James Mangold.
James Mangold. Man of gold instead of man of steel.
Man of gold. Midas touch.
What does that mean?
It's like the gold touch, you know.
Midas touch? Never heard of that.
Yeah, it's like a king back in like the... It's like a myth or something. Everything he touched turned to gold.
Oh, that's
so he could
not
have
true.
Everything he wanted and then...
What's Beans doing?
Beans.
She's bumbling.
She wants to snuggle. Can you please make room, woman?
Okay. Please. What were you saying about this gold man?
Oh, I think she farted. What are you saying about this gold man?
Carry on. So he's under. What else has he done?
Iron Man? Sorry. he did Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, I love that.
Logan. Great movie.
Logan's okay.
The Wolverine.
Logan is the Wolverine. Are those different movies?
They're different movies.
Okay.
Walk the Line. 310 to Yuma. Night and Day. You know, the one with Cameron Diaz and Tom Cruise.
Oh my God, I love that movie.
Yeah. Identity. He's done a lot. He did Girl Interrupted, I think.
Oh, I never saw that movie, but I know what you're talking about.
He does not stick to one genre. He's very diverse. Quite like it. Anyway,
so
this movie stars, yes, you guessed it, Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones.
So interactive with your audience.
I always am. Phoebe Waller-Bridge as Helena Shaw, his goddaughter. Mads Mikkelsen as Dr. Jürgen Volle. That's the correct pronunciation.
Is it?
Or no, I'm just saying that. I love Mads Mikkelsen. He's great in like everything he's in.
He's great. He plays a good bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Boyd Holbrook as Clobber. You know, the guy that was just shooting everything?
Yes. Yeah, that was Clobber. Clobbing all Klaber. Over the place.
Clobber. John Rhys Davies reprises his role as Salah for that like 5 minute scene that he's in.
Okay.
And then Toby Jones as Basil Shaw.
No, why I thought you were going to say Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
And then Antonio Banderas was also in this as like his friend. I don't remember his name though. He wasn't in the other movies, so he was just an introductory character.
Oh.
the plot. Archaeologist Indiana Jones races against time to retrieve a legendary artifact that can change the course of history. Guess what the budget was?
$150 million.
You're a little short, about $300
million. I was about to be like, I'm always pretty close.
Making it like...
That's so much. I can't believe they spent that much on it.
You know, like a couple episodes ago, we went through the list of all the movies.
The most expensive movies, yeah.
Yeah, $300 million or higher. Yeah. This is like just below that. So this is like number 12.
Oh my gosh. Wait, so it's 300 and what million?
It's 295.
Well, it's not in the 300 million category. Not including marketing. The movie still stands.
Not including marketing. The video still stands.
We don't care about marketing. That's different.
We don't care about marketing.
It's a different team. We are not talking about marketing. I don't know anything about marketing. I'm not qualified. I mean, I'm not qualified to talk about this either. We're just not talking about it. Okay. I don't want to talk about it.
The box office, $152 million so far worldwide.
That's pretty good.
I would give this movie... You have 3.5 or 4 stars. I have not made up my mind.
I'd give it a solid 4 stars.
Solid 4.
Solid 4, yeah.
Did everything right that it needed to, I think.
I honestly agree. I think that, and this was something my mom had commented on Letterboxd, that like, they were true to the original franchise. Like, yeah, the story might be a little hokey today, but if you like line it up with how the Indiana Jones movies used to be made, I think it's so on point.
I would love to watch all of them in a row again. Honestly.
I know, me too. I would love to watch them again. And we should have watched them beforehand too. Cause I mean, that's what I did with like,
Avatar,
the Avatar Way of Water. I watched the one before and then the new one was so much more enjoyable because I did not remember the original at all. But I think they did a great job. Like not only like catering it to a newer audience, but also continuing with the franchise, like and being true to the franchise. I was very pleased with it because usually when I see like spinoffs that are made 40 years later, excluding Top Gun Maverick, because that was a piece of art, but usually they do not live up to the expectation of what the original movies were. They're usually hokey and somehow they turn it into being a political statement at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
True.
Whereas this was just like exactly what we needed. Like it was just Indiana Jones being old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm glad they accepted the fact that he was old and brought that into the movie, you know? like,
well, there's no way you could have avoided it. Like, he's, yeah, I mean, yeah. How old is he now?
He's at least 75.
Yeah. So he's at an age where, like, they couldn't pretend like he was not mm-hmm. in his 70s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they could have done some of that mad CGI that they did.
Mad CGI.
But that's crazy. Okay. You guys want to get into the plot? Are you ready? I had to burp.
I'm ready.
Okay. So, first things first, before we get started, I just want to say to everybody in the world as a PSA, now that I know what that stands for, I would never want to be an archaeologist.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of just hard work for nothing.
It sounds like a lot of being dirty all the time, and you can only wear beige.
That's just only not beige me. And cargo shorts.
In cargo shorts. I mean, you would love the pockets.
I know. I mean, that's why they're called cargo shorts.
But it's just not my vibe. Like, I don't like having dirt on my skin. Like, if I have,
it's not exfoliating.
If I walk in the sand or like I touch dirt, like I'm fine in the moment, but then afterwards, just like sitting
spontaneously
in it,
combust.
Just like sitting with like feeling all of your like skin crevices and your fingerprints filled with dirt. It's just like nasty to me. I don't like it. I couldn't be an archaeologist. Also, I always thought history class was like boring. Like, I think it's interesting when they tell like the big events and like the really important things that happened. But then when they get into like dates and like names and like super specific stuff, it's just so hard to fathom that it was real that I just like would get bored. I would be a really bad archaeologist is what I'm saying.
You'd probably give up pretty quickly.
Yeah. How would you do? You know more about history than I do.
I always enjoyed history. I was always a lot better at that than like science or math. Mm-hmm. So I naturally gravitated towards that more. And also it kind of included geography, which I was always better at. So
you know what we should talk about?
What should we talk about?
What color is what subject? This is a big debate for
this
us.
This is probably a hot topic.
The biggest fights that we get in are this topic. Ready? I'm going to name them off and you say the color.
Okay.
I'm going to be so mad. Math.
Math is red.
Blue. It's blue. It's
no,
100%
it's
blue.
Social studies
and
is blue.
And being somebody who has an engineering degree and is way better at math than you, it's blue.
I'm qualified to tell you that
red?
It's red.
Are you kidding me? That's outrageous.
It's red.
Okay, science.
Green.
Oh, I was going to do a countdown. Never mind. No countdown. I would say green, too.
Yeah, it's obviously green. If it's anything else, just fuck you.
Because, you know, like cytoplasm.
Yeah, exactly. Mitochondria of the cell.
Those are not green.
How do you
or
know what color
all
they
the
are?
The diagrams are like red.
They're always brown, you know.
What did you say the mitochondria was?
It's the powerhouse of the cell. That's what everybody, every child in the U.S. knows that. That's a fact.
It's just like a meme now. Why is it that all teachers agreed to call it the powerhouse of the cell? You
it's
know
like
what I mean?
Some like...
like
somebody did signal across all the teachers.
I know. It's
you call
so
it this,
funny. The powerhouse of
with
the
like
cell.
The sheet of paper and it says label this, but you can't even like read what the image is. It's like a
because the printer was so
the printer was
up.
Terrible.
And it's just fuzzy. Oh my god, that's so true. Okay, ready? Social studies. 3, 2, 1. Orange.
Blue. Orange. Orange is English.
Why would it be blue?
Because it's blue. I don't know how to describe it. It's literally
blue.
But
think about it. Like I said, archaeologists are beige. That's the most like orange. Like dirt is orange. At least where we're from. We're from South Carolina, so dirt is orange.
Dirt
is orange in South Carolina. So I just thought of social studies as orange because history is orange.
It's blue. I would also go, actually no, social studies is always blue. Now, English could be brown or orange.
What?
Either one, they're interchangeable.
English is red.
What?
It's so funny how like upsetting it is to us that we think about it that way.
I know.
You know what I mean?
But it's just because
orange,
that's what we labeled our folders as kids, you know.
Beans is like completely on my microphone cord. I need to like get situated.
That's
oh.
Sorry.
I'm sitting on the remote. Okay, currently not sitting on the remote anymore. Okay, I'm glad we really got hashed that out. Are you ready
to
get in the plot
now? So what's red?
English.
No, no, English is orange or brown. We established
no,
this.
But English is red.
But if it's not red, what is red?
But it's red, so we don't need to have this conversation.
Okay.
Okay, let's get into the plot, everybody. Okay. So, they start in a flashback. I know I said I was going to get into the plot, but I have comments to I want to make about the flashback before we get into it. The CGI is amazing on young Indiana Jones. Like, his facial acting, I will say, I feel like I say that too much. Every time we're in the podcast, I'm like, yes. I will say.
But I will, but I won't
but
say.
But I have to say.
I'm going
to
say I won't say.
But I won't say. I will not say that English is white slash orange.
White?
You said white slash orange.
Orange slash brown. White? Nobody uses white.
We need to move on from this topic. But his facial acting was inhibited by the CGI, which is the only thing that I think, like, kind of, it like, you could tell that it wasn't him. Like, it looked like a deep fake. You know deep fakes?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Is that what it was? I thought it was him, actually.
No, it's him. So, fun fact.
Fun fact.
In an interview on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Harrison Ford explained how the filmmakers digitally de-aged him for the flashback sequences.
Imagine getting re-aged. How tragic would that be?
They have this artificial intelligence program that can go through every foot of film that Lucasfilm owns. Because I did a bunch of movies for them, they have all this footage, including film that wasn't printed. So they can mine it from where the light is coming from the expression.
Mine?
Mine it. Yeah, I don't know how they do it, but that's my actual face.
Is this like artificial intelligence?
Then I put little dots in my face and I say the words and they make it. That's fantastic.
Say, just say the words, Indy, and they make it.
Three words and I'm yours.
Why do they still have footage that they never used is my question. Like, I would have thought they don't have the storage space for that.
They don't have it's in the cloud. The cloud is full. Hey, Apple, $20 more a month to get 5 more gigabytes.
Store all of the footage that they take on a movie because I can't even keep my iPhone from getting overloaded with footage. So I don't even.
Their backup servers must be fantastic.
I know. Something else. Let's talk about this flashback before we get into the flashback.
Oh, boy.
This flashback makes sense. And I will say most. I did it again. Damn it. I will say. In most movies, in large series, they want to do flashbacks to add historical facts, to make the movie make sense because they decided they want to do this plot line, but they need to add this little bit of tidbit
historical
from the past
connection.
To make it all work. And usually it's like so hokey, like it does not work. So yeah, usually I dislike flashbacks when it's a large series and they have to flashback to add like historical facts or make the movie make sense. But in this case, like I found the flashback actually interesting and it added to the story. Mm-hmm. Rather than just showcasing that the writers didn't plan ahead in the past movies.
Agreed, yeah.
Like, also, I really enjoy the Indiana Jones movies. And so it was kind of just like another taste of Indiana Jones. And because they wrote it so well, like, based off of the history mm-hmm. of Indiana Jones. Like, it was just enjoyable. Like, I really liked it.
Yeah, the whole 25-minute sequence in the beginning is, like, perfect.
I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that, like, when they were on top of the train, I was definitely getting Polar Express vibes, you know, with the CGI face and
true.
The walking on top of the train.
That movie is the worst movie.
I always thought it was kind of scary.
It's terrifying.
So you thought it was scary, too?
Yeah, hated it.
Carly really liked
Tom
it.
Tom Hanks's worst movie.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
maybe
they actually. Did not have the animation capabilities that they needed in order to execute it successfully. So those were all of the comments I had. Now we can talk about what actually happens in the flashback. So it takes place in 1944 during the flashback, during the Allied liberation of Europe in World War II. So the war is coming to an end. Hitler's pretty much lost the war and the Allies are coming in hot. So the Nazis are basically like moving all of the art and the treasured archaeological things that Hitler has accumulated during the war. I don't really know where they want to move it to, but they're moving
they're
it for some
it.
Reason. They're going to move it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Things are changing.
King Julian.
The Nazis, they capture Indiana Jones and his friend, the archaeologist Basil Shaw, because Indy and his friend are trying to retrieve the Lance of Longinus.
the very long lance.
The long lance. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. So they're trying to take it. I don't really know why. I guess because they think it's powerful, or they don't trust the Nazis to take care of it or something. But also at the same time that they're trying to steal this lance, they introduce a astrophysicist named Jürgen Völler. And he is basically informing everybody that he has found out that the lance is fake. But they do have Archimedes' dial, which is not lit. Fake, and it's important.
It's not fake.
It's real, man. This is getting real. This shit is real. Isn't that from like a video? This shit is. Oh no! You know what it's from? It's from the Kimmy Schmidt intro video. Do you remember that show, Unbreakable?
I've never
Kimmy
watched
Schmidt.
That show.
It's so well done. The intro. It's just like a funny show for laughs. But the intro, they've made it like into a. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. It's got the girl from The Office.
Yeah. So the intro is basically like, oh, it's the newscast report of these people being broken out of this captivity of a cult, and somebody took the newscast video and made a rap like remix of it, and that's the like intro, which is so smart, isn't it?
I'll have to watch it.
Because you know like all the remixes they make of like newscasters like on the intro.
Oh yes, that's true. They do.
So they like made the intro for that, and it was really funny. But they say this shit is real in it.
This shit is real.
Real
Madrid.
Yeah, Real Madrid. So I don't really understand why particularly they needed to have Indiana Jones looking for the lance, and then the lance be fake, and then them get Archimedes' dial. Like, is it just supposed to be impressive that they can tell right away that's fake? Why can't they just all be looking for Archimedes' dial? That's my question. Like, it was kind of contrived. I guess.
Yeah. I
didn't think the lance was necessary.
It's a coincidence.
It's a coinky dink. But it's not really a coincidence when it was specifically written into the story. So.
Yeah, gee, it's a red herring. How about that?
I just honestly think Archimedes' dial, like, they made it so confusing at some points when they were explaining things that having the lance there just, like, kind of made it more confusing at the same time.
I thought the lance was less confusing than the dial. I mean,
true.
It's like a whole dial with, like, little buttons and functions, and a lance is just a sword.
Yeah, that's all the buttons and functions.
That's my thought.
Yeah, I would definitely say the dial, I liked how they don't really tell you what it's for. For a long time. They just say it can cause time fissures. And I'm like,
you can become God.
What exactly does that mean? You know what I mean? A fissure in time that can mean so many things.
That can mean a lot of things.
Yeah. So I kind of liked that. It was kind of like hush, hush. Or maybe I just was being stupid and really confused the whole time.
Who knows? I don't.
But I wrote here that it is a special dial, all caps, the word special. And it was made by a Syracusian mathematician, Archimedes. No, I think of Syracuse like in New England. Syracuse is a college in like New Jersey or something.
Why was I thinking it's in Florida?
I don't know why you thought it was in Florida. Sarasota's in Florida. Is that what you're thinking?
Maybe.
Yeah, we're talking about like, I think it's New Jersey, but I could be wrong.
No, you're right. Yeah, it's New York.
Yeah, because I know there's a college. Oh, it's in New York?
I'm pretty sure it's in New York.
New York, baby.
No, it's in Syracuse, New York.
Yeah, probably. Beans is upset about something outside, so if she barks...
That is why.
She's just probably barking at somebody walking their dog. But they basically explain it's a very old dial made by a man a very long time ago that can locate time fissures. And when they explain this part... They did not say that fissures in time mean the ability to time travel, so I was kind of really confused about that until later on they were time traveling.
I kind of thought maybe,
but I didn't want to make any assumptions.
Never assume anything.
Never assume. Exactly. That's what
I'm
saying.
Didn't you learn that from science class? That one video?
All I know is that the mitochondria is the
powerhouse
of
the cell.
Beans is coming over here to tell us how upset she is. She's groaning. Yeah, so this is when it started to get complicated with the backstories. This is one of those movies where they just keep handing you information. You're like, okay, yeah.
I will take all the handfuls of it. I'm carrying so much right now. I can't carry anymore.
Yeah, you just kind of like accept your fate. So Indiana Jones.
Except your destiny.
The dial of your destiny, right? To be exact.
It's turning.
It's turning. Careful, don't get a fissure. Okay. So Indiana Jones basically escapes the train. He gets the dial away from the Nazis, and the train crashes.
It does crash indeed. Yeah. But also it stayed on the bridge somehow. You know, like it stayed on the railroad bridge, which was a little shocking to me.
I don't know. I don't know how it,
like, and physics. I don't know.
And you know, I never had a model train as a kid. You'd probably know more than I would about it.
Obviously. Yeah. Thomas, where you at, my guy?
So now that's the end of the flashback, and they cut to the future. 1969, Indiana Jones has separated from his wife, Marion, and their son, Mutt, has died during the Vietnam War. So he's in a very sad place. He's not doing well. And so he's basically being pushed into retirement by the college he works at. He's a professor. And it's funny because they give him this dinky little, like, crappy clock as a retirement gift. And I'm like, you're giving this man who, like, has worked with some of the most important archaeological finds of history a, like, dinky little crappy clock as his, like, goodbye gift.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It seems a little...
It was very ironic. And I know they did it because it was, like, they wanted the irony of it. She is sitting on the quartz. Okay. So then they introduce Basil, his old pal from the flashback, has a daughter who is also Indiana Jones's godchild. Her name is Helena Shaw. And she is an archaeology student and a treasure hunter. And she approaches Indiana Jones in one of her classes. And she knows all the history. She honestly, in my opinion, smelled a little fishy from the start. I thought there was something a little suspicious about her.
Something a little...
Don't be
tuna
suspicious.
Fish.
Don't be suspicious.
Big tuna.
Big tuna, exactly. And I think I only thought she was suspicious potentially because... they made her out to be kind of fishy in the ads, but I'm just going to tell myself that I have a good judge of character and I just knew she was a bitch from the start.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that. So she is pretty much studying the Archimedes dial as her PhD project, and she wants information from Indy because she knows that he has been in its presence previously. And he tells her that the dial was split in half. And Basil, who is now dead, was nearly driven insane trying to figure out all the secrets of the dial.
Almost insane.
So Jones failed to fulfill a promise he had made to Basil in the past, which was to destroy the dial. Because at the time, he was fighting with Basil because Basil was going crazy over the dial. And Basil thought that you could use it for time travel. And Indiana Jones was like, you fucking idiot. No, you can't.
So why not use it
so
for time
trial? So he stole the...
Am I right?
For a time trial?
Time
oh, you,
travel.
So it's just a stopwatch is what you're saying.
It's a stopwatch. He recorded his mile on it. He wasn't impressed. He wanted to destroy it.
So he used the fissures in time to go back and redo the time trial.
Genius.
Genius.
Glad we're on the same page.
Exactly. So Jones decides he's going to help Helena because she's family and she's working really hard and he knows where the dial is. So he goes back to the university in the storage room and he gets it for her. But he has no idea that bad guy, Voller, from back on the train in the flashback, is actually...
is still alive.
Still alive.
I don't know.
And looking for the dial.
No, he's still alive because he got, like, hit in the face with a giant pole going, like, 70 miles an hour.
Yeah,
on a train.
It doesn't really... And also, like, I mean, even if he wasn't, you know, dead, he should have had a cane
had
or,
a
like,
score.
You know, some facial damage or something. Agree,
some
actually.
Permanent injury.
Continuity. You know, the movie was so on point with their continuity. I'm surprised they made this mistake.
Fun fact.
Yay!
So, James Mangold has stated on Twitter that the opening credits will be in the style established in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first movie. Which I noticed, I was thinking, those opening credits are a little weird, but they look familiar. And it's from the same,
I really
it's the
liked
same
it.
Style.
I didn't even notice that. I don't remember the opening credits. But next time, I will notice
next
it.
Time when you watch this movie.
I'm going to mind blown is what's going to happen. So yeah, the bad guy is back. And now he works for NASA. And it's actually the reason that there are men on the moon. So crazy. He's a hotshot in America now. But he is looking for Helena because he knows Helena is looking for the dial. And she has a relationship to her father who once owned the dial. So Helena gets the dial from Indiana Jones, but reveals that she's actually a fake ass bitch. And she just wanted it so she could sell it at an auction on the black market.
Genius.
As you can see here, I wrote in my notes, exposed. I was right. So she basically like locks Indiana Jones in the storage room with all the bad guys who are chasing them. And
they're like, pew, pew.
They're shooting up a storm. What's his name? Cobble? Was like so trigger happy.
Clobber.
Clobber.
Maybe it was Claber?
I don't know.
It was Claber.
Clobber. I don't know. But he was one of the bad guys who just wanted to shoot everybody for some goddamn reason. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm cursing a lot today. I'm just like.
You're getting into it.
It's one of those days.
It's one of those days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting. Also, the this is like the CIA agent, you know, that is with the Russians, the bad guy.
Yeah.
Voller.
The woman.
She had no purpose in the movie whatsoever.
I don't really know why she needed to be in the movie. I agree.
That's like, my main gripe. She was pointless.
I guess because she was like the link between the fact that the American government was working with Voller despite him being a bad guy.
Maybe.
But I don't know why he needed his own CIA agent and why she was helping him find the dial, especially. I didn't get that.
Yeah, yeah. That part was lost on me. And
yeah.
I pay attention pretty well, so.
Continuity. So then Indiana Jones is running away because everybody's now trying to pin him on the murders that Cobble has just shot a bunch of people. What?
I was pinning it.
Oh, you were pinning me? So he's running away from the cops in the streets and he gets on a horse. This is when they have the whole horse scene in the subway. Very Indiana Jones. I was worried when I was watching the ads that this was going to be really hokey, but it was just like on point.
Also,
chef's kiss.
Production design was excellent.
Oh yeah, for sure. I loved it. I love anything that takes place in the 60s or the 70s, like the outfits and the furniture and the cars. I just love all of it. The hair and the makeup, it's just, I always enjoy those.
Me too.
Think that it's a really interesting time in fashion. So Jones travels to Tangier. I don't know. Okay.
Do you have tan hair? Use this product.
Shit. I don't know. He travels to Northern Africa near Morocco because he knows that's where Helena is going to sell the dial at auction for some reason. I feel like she probably spent more money on the plane ticket than she's going to get for the dial at this point, because I don't understand why she has to go to Morocco to auction this thing off. She's
because
it
was
York
a private
City.
Auction.
She, auction
she knew somebody that was going to buy it from her because it was a private auction. It was a private event.
Literally. It was a private auction. She knew somebody because it was a private auction. So she went there because it was a private auction. You always like to explain things using like exactly the thing that you're trying to explain.
It makes perfect sense.
So basically Indiana Jones is in Morocco, Helena's in Morocco, and Voller's in Morocco with his henchmen. They all meet up at the auction and there's gunshots, people are upset, people are running, there's a child there too. And then what ensues is a very tasteful chase scene.
What's worse than a rapist?
A child.
Sorry.
Also, do you have a fun fact that you want to say?
Yeah, I do have one.
Go for
but
it.
But it has nothing to do with what you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, drop it.
So George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, and Paramount Pictures first agreed to do 5 Indiana Jones movies in 1979.
Is this
so
the fifth?
This is the fifth one.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Which
so
I did not know.
Out.
I thought they were just like, oh, screw it. Let's make another one. You know, why not?
So this was in the plan, apparently. Did they want him to be old Indiana Jones, or did they just kind of not make it back then?
I guess they just didn't make it back then. I'm not sure what the spread is from each movie to movie. But I know the last one was in 2008. So it's been a minute.
Oh. Interesting.
The
okay.
Crystal Skull.
All right. Well, I have some comments I want to make about Helena. I don't understand why she is best friends with a child. that she drags around with her like her human slave.
Well, I don't think
this was necessary. This role was completely unnecessary. She literally treats him like her slave.
It's a temple of doom all over.
A minute for you to hear what I said.
No, like, I heard what you said. I was just processing.
It's like he clings to her like she is his only family. And she seems like she just uses him for her devious work. And I literally think this part is so unnecessary. Like their relationship is unhealthy. And I wrote in right here, there I said it, exclamation point. Inappropriate relationship. He is underage, treating this woman like she is family, and she is pulling him into all these terrible situations.
Yeah, I understand.
Did not understand it.
Maybe he doesn't have any other family.
It was
completely
unnecessary.
It's Morocco.
They could... Actually, it's Tangier. Whatever.
Tangier is in Morocco.
Tangerine. I don't know. I just wanted to say that I didn't think Teddy's character was necessary.
I thought it was a little forced.
Yeah, I don't know why they needed that. But so Jones, Helena, and Teddy follow Voller to Greece because Voller gets away with... Wait, what did he even get away with? I'm so confused. Why did they go to Greece? Who has the dial? I don't know.
What is going on in the movie?
I have no idea. It's like they just travel over the place for no reason. Okay. Somebody has the dial at this point, but I don't know who. I'm just going to say that. I don't remember where it was. But they enlist the aid of Indiana Jones's friend, sea diver friend, Ronaldo. And they go under the water to retrieve a tablet from the Aegean Sea, which tells them where to find the second half of the dial. Again, a completely unnecessary part of the movie. They just wanted to have an underwater scene.
It was a good underwater scene.
It was fun, but it was like, really? Like, you really need to go to Greece to go underwater to get a tablet that's actually made of wax that you melt to get a map to tell you where the next part of the dial is? Like, come on, my dudes.
Come on.
It was like a little... This is when I started to be like, I'm just going to be confused. Obviously, I was because I have no idea who had the dial at this point. Keep you guys on your toes. You know, you'll have to see the movie to find out. But
turns out everything we've been saying about the movie is something we've just fabricated.
Yeah, we're just making this all up as we go along.
We are true creatives.
So then Voller shows up at their little underwater extraction mission, and there's some drama. Some people get shot.
Collateral damage in this
movie.
Yeah,
collateral damage.
A lot more than the others.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
But they get away. And they find out where the next half of the dial is. So they go there. I think it was in Sicily. Was I right? They went to Sicily? To find the second half of the dial.
Yes.
Took me a while. So they get there. They find out it's actually an Archimedes tomb. So they go into his tomb.
They open it up.
He's literally sitting there, his dead body holding the dial. And also... Archimedes is wearing a modern day watch. So they're like, oh my goodness.
Like, what the junk?
Where did that come from? He must have been able to time travel with the dial because he would never have had this watch. Or somebody could have just also found his grave and put a watch on him.
Why would somebody do that?
Why would somebody not do that? That is so something that like a random person would be like, it would be so funny if I put a watch on the skeleton.
Well,
I feel like someone would do that.
I don't think it was open before this. It's a tomb.
Yeah, but it was pretty darn easy for them to get in there.
They had to do so many.
He only had a blanket covering him. It's not like he had to like move like a 2-ton slate of like concrete on top of his
tomb. But they were archaeologists.
So they're extra special?
Yes.
Whatever. I think anybody could have done it. I don't think it proves anything.
You could have done it in your
plot
sleep.
Hole, snatched.
I don't think you could have done it. There was a lot of dirt in there.
Yeah, I don't like dirt. I wouldn't have done it, but maybe somebody else would have. But, you know, one thing happens after another, and Voller ends up getting the dial. And he then gets on an airplane with Indiana Jones, both halves of the dial
put
together.
Indiana Jones is shot now, too.
Indiana Jones has been shot, man down.
Like,
I repeat,
close to
clean
the
up
heart.
On aisle 4.
But I feel like he would have passed out in that time.
Yeah, he was literally shot like directly next to his heart.
He was like right here.
Yeah, like right next to his heart. So I was like, come on. I always wonder in movies when like people are like fatally injured and then they go to a 20-minute action scene and then they're just like fine after it for some reason. Like I get it. Yeah, adrenaline can like, you know, make you like be able to keep going. But I'm like, come on. This is a little, you know what I mean? Well, they're on an airplane together, and this is when Voller decides it is a opportune time to reveal his entire master plan to Indiana Jones. And I'm like, my dudes, why would you do that? Like,
because he's the villain, and he's got to reveal the master plan right before, right, the climax of the movie.
I know, but like, this is a movie where they have explanatory dialogue. They're going to spoon feed you everything. And like, I get it, but usually they were doing it like, oh, I'm telling it to somebody who doesn't know but needs to know this information, like in the plot line. So
Harrison
it works.
Ford didn't really
but in this
need to
case,
know it.
He was their prisoner. If you're telling him your enemy, your master plan before you've executed it, like you're literally just asking for him to find plot holes and like stop you from executing your plan.
Yeah, maybe. So, he also thought he's probably going to die soon too.
Yes.
He was shot. But yes, that is a big flaw.
I also don't know why he brought Indiana Jones with him on the plane. I don't think he needed to go with him. He should have, you know, clean up your mess, just shoot them all, and then move on. You know? That's what I would have said.
Shoot them all.
Yeah.
That's what Emmy says.
Yep, that's what I would say. So, Helena also sneaks on the plane without anybody knowing.
Which was very impressive. Of her to be able
to
do that.
Yeah, she jumped off a motorcycle onto the plane, onto the wheel, and then inside the plane. And somehow, I just don't think that's possible.
I didn't really enjoy. Like, I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I think Fleabag is like hilarious, and she's a really good writer. But this is not her best work.
Is she the writer of this?
No,
she's the actress.
She's the actress, but she wrote a show called Fleabag, and then she wrote the last James Bond movie too.
Oh wow. Well, I thought she was good. Well, I liked her in the role.
I just didn't think her humor worked a lot.
Yeah, her humor didn't hit. I agree. So she sneaks on the plane. At the same time, her underage friend, Teddy, pursues them in another plane, even though he's never flown a plane, but he flies it.
Yeah, that was a little ridiculous.
That was too much, in my opinion. But they needed to have a backup plane for later.
You got to get
it. So that's
there.
Why they did it. So basically, they find a time fissure in the airplane using the dial.
They fly into it.
And Voller sets it to be back in like 1949 or something. 1939. In order to kill Adolf Hitler in hopes that a better leader will rise and lead Germany to victory in the war. So he's, you know, through and through full Nazi man. And he wants to.
Fun fact.
Oh.
Every odd number Indiana Jones film features Nazis as the antagonists. Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Last Crusade, and this movie.
Oh. Was that on purpose? Or are Nazis just easy
Nazis
to
are just
make bad
easy
guys?
Easy villain. The fourth one was
everybody
the Russians.
Everybody can root for whoever is fighting against Nazis.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, there's probably some exceptions.
And then Stalin's over there just chilling. LOL.
Yeah, honestly. Indy realizes that the dial was made before they knew about continental drift and how the tectonic plates of the earth move so that the time fissure locations would be different 2,000 years ago than they are now because the earth has moved from where it was originally. And so he screams that out and he's like, you are not going to the right place. Your calculations are wrong. But it's too late to turn back, so they go through the time fissure, and they find themselves at the Battle of Syracuse, I believe.
Of New York.
The Siege of Syracuse in 214 BC. And so the plane basically crashes because everybody's attacking them because they think that the plane is a dragon. Indiana Jones has a little bit of a drama mama moment where he's like, just leave me here to die.
And then Helena's like, no, screw you.
Yeah.
And then punches him.
Punches him and kidnaps him. And Indy realizes that the dial was made not so that you could travel to any time that you want, but so that you would have to travel back to the time of the Siege of Syracuse. So it wasn't the continental drift at all. It was just a cry for help. I don't particularly like this bit of the storyline. I think you're literally telling me that Archimedes is this genius man, and he thinks, Whoever gets his hands on this time travel device are going to use it for the betterment of a random civilization in the past that they end up getting to when they're using the time fissure device to get not where they wanted to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a little contrived.
Like, oh, I want to go back to 2000 and dance the pop music. JK, you're at the Siege of Syracuse, and you are a 14-year-old girl who is supposed to help these people through their battle. Beans is attacking Beans Jonathan is right really now. Annoying. So, in my opinion, Archimedes is not as smart of a man as they made him out to be, because he should know better than to change the past because of the consequences it can have in a time paradox. He has obviously never seen the movie About Time. That's all I have to say.
That's such a good movie.
I love that movie.
That movie makes me cry.
Jonathan, what are you doing? You're literally not in the camera frame right now.
He's attacking me. What am I supposed to do?
You like the movie About Time?
Yeah, I love that
I thought
movie.
It was such a chick flick. I thought you would hate
it
that.
It is a chick flick, but it's a really good ending. My dad like, loves that
movie. The shot is so weird right now. I love the movie About Time, but obviously this guy, somehow he's a genius, but he didn't think about the fact that like if you bring people back and they fix the Battle of Syracuse, you're going to change all of the future.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah, exactamo. So,
exactamo.
Helena knocks out Jones and brings him back to modern day. And Indiana Jones awakens in his apartment. All his friends are there, and they live happily ever after. So,
well, Marion's there too.
His wife, yeah, he gets back together with his wifey wife.
Glad they kept the same actress.
Yeah, me too. I love that. They were cute. They seemed like they really like were having a great time. So, that's the conclusion of all the things I have to say. Do you have anything else to say?
I think that's all of my thoughts.
All right. What movie are we doing next week?
It's called No Hard Feelings. It's got Jennifer Lawrence. We're doing that one.